It's Monday, December 3rd, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech show, show number 821, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a .com for $295 by using promo code GEEK295, or save 20% off your order by using promo code GO20. Off to. Hey folks, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're live here in Texas via the Geek News Central Portable Studio. Got a fantastic show. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from our from the Lone Star State via our HD mobile broadcast studio. I almost said from our broadcast studio in Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And yes, I'm live here in the heart of Texas. I want to welcome all of you to the show. Thanks for being here. And, of course, thanks for, if you're on the stream, watching the live stream tonight, I'm really excited because we're doing something for the very first time on the road. We're using my commercial-free Amazon Flash Media Server, which just is absolutely fantastic because I'm able now to basically be ad-free completely when I'm on the road or at home when we're doing the live stream. And I tell you, it's a great deal. I spend about $100 to $150 a month to do all 12 shows, which is fantastic. It includes bandwidth and server cost, including some replay stuff. So it's well worth it for me to be really ad-free, you know, considering it would cost me about $400 a month to use Watershed over at the folks at... using Watershed with the folks at Ustream, or paying $3.99 a month at Livestream, this is a much, much better deal. So I'm glad to be here with you today, and I tell you, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the family. Thanks for being subscribed. I'm grateful that you're a part of the program. And of course, if you're new to the show, thanks for checking us out. I do travel quite a little bit during the year. This will be my 58th night in a hotel this year. So obviously we do some road shows from time to time, and I try to keep the quality as high as possible for your listening and viewing convenience, no matter if I'm in the studio in Honolulu or if I'm on the road. Tonight we're green screening it. We've got, for those of you that are listening, I'm sitting amongst a Google data center. That's where the background is. So everything is ops normal here, and we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. If you are new, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And it's a great way to get connected. And I actually should have had the site loaded. If I had it loaded, you guys would have been able to see it correctly the first time it loaded. Get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out all our writers' content. We've got bloggers that are putting stuff up on the website on a daily basis. And, of course, you can get subscribed to the show. You'll find in the second column of the website the ability to do that. You'll find the RSS feed or the iTunes link there. Of course, we want you to get subscribed. That's the best way to stay abreast of what's going on with the show. And again, it's real easy. Just go over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find that information there. If you want to get involved as well, you can get connected with our newsletter. The newsletter, I send that out immediately following the show. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight. It has all the links to all the articles. And, of course, so we have all of the show notes over at gncshownotes.com, all the extensive links to all the articles as well. So don't forget about that at gncshownotes.com. It's always linked at geeknewscentral.com as well. in the actual article. Of course, if you want to reach out to me and get a hold of me here on the show, it's real easy to do so. You can do it via Twitter. At Geek News is my Twitter account. You can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is available at 619-342-7365, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the same said for being able to do that on the website at geeknewscentral.com as well, because there's a send comment right on the website. All you got to do is click on that and use your microphone on your webcam or on your desktop computer to be able to just send a message to the show, and that will play it back here during the podcast. So lots going on. Obviously, we're going to get into some of that here in a minute, and we got lots of tech content, but I want to take a minute and thank our sponsors. But I do want to start off by having to cue this the correct way, and let's start our segment with a message and a little short comment from Danica Patrick.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. We've got some great deals for you this month. We've got the ability for you to get some .coms for $2.95 each. All you got to do is use the promo code GEEK295, and you're going to get a .com, up to 3 .coms per purchase at $2.95. This is a fantastic offer. We want you to definitely check it out over at GoDaddy.com. We've also got a 20% off promo code to use anytime. This is good through the end of the year, and you can use this promo code at checkout by using the promo code GO20. Off too. Now, if you want to find all my promo codes, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com, and there's a link on the website where you're going to be able to select or go to geeknewscentral.com again /GoDaddy, and you're going to find all of my promo codes. And there's a code there for really for every occasion. You can get again hosting discounts, cashbacks. You can get .com renewals. You can get SSL certificates at a great price. So really, there's a lot of promos going on this month through the end of December. This is a great time to pick up not only a .com, pick up a hosting account at a very inexpensive rate. And what I want you to do is play with the discounts. So if you're thinking about doing a Christmas present for someone, so go in and get that .com for $2.95. Then close that order out. Then go right back in. Follow that up immediately. Almost sneezed on you there. Then go back in and pick out a hosting account. And you either use our 20% off code or used our $1.99 promo code where you get up to 3 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99 by using the host199 code. So it's real easy to save money. All you got to do is go over to GoDaddy.com, use my promo codes. Of course, you can find all of those at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank the folks at GoDaddy.com for being a sponsor here of the show. And of course, It's a great way for you to support us, and it helps us keep the lights on and allow us to do what we do. All right, let me go ahead and get into my stack here. I've got some stuff to share with you before we get into the full-blown content tonight. It flew out of Honolulu Saturday night, got into Houston, did a transfer, got into Dallas Sunday morning, basically arrived here at my destination about an hour and a half later. Just, you know, it's amazing. You get on the highway here in Texas, and it's so different than Hawaii. I can, you know, speed limits in some parts on the highway are 75 miles an hour, which is incredible. If I drive 75 miles an hour in Hawaii, first of all, I'm probably going to go to jail for the ticket that I'm going to get. It just, you don't get up to those types of speeds in on an island, but you do, but it's illegal. Here, that's the posted speed limit. So first of all, I love being able to get on the open road and just go. So it makes it pretty nice to basically get in a car and let her rip. But weather here in Texas is beautiful. Where's winter? I'm just kind of like, it's very odd. It's December and it's 80 degrees today. I packed a jacket, but obviously I don't need one. So be here this week. This is my last trip of the year, thank goodness, and I'll be home. And then, of course, the next trip after this will be where the entire team that I'm taking to a tech podcast will be going to CES. And, of course, this will be live streamed by a lot of our affiliates as well, which would be fantastic for them to get additional, basically some great coverage of CES. So planning on that continues. We've got some announcements to make in a week or so, but I'm really looking forward to going out to CES. But really what is on my top of mind right now is I'm working on the 24-hour podcast and getting together my guest list. I've confirmed a number of guests already. I've confirmed Adam Curry. He's going to be on the show. We've got Rick from New Media Expo that's going to be on, a bunch of TPN folks. I've asked a couple of associations that are new media associations to attend and be on. I'm really working on my entire list. Hope to have some additional announcements on guests here in the next show. Well, really what I'm trying to do is get my agenda completely locked down by Friday. So tomorrow I'll be working heavily on my entire schedule and getting people booked up. But it should be a great show. I'm scoping, you know, as time goes on, it's one of those things where you have to be careful on who you book when. Because, you know, the show can peak and then the audience numbers can drop. So I have to really be careful in spacing out the real headliners to make sure that they come in, you know, every couple of hours. And not to say that everybody that's not going to participate is a headliner. It's you know, there's some folks that have a little bit higher stature than others. And we definitely want to accommodate them and get them in. And, of course, we want to be able to bring in a lot of shows. And I think we're going to have room for up to 48 guests during the 24 hours. I'm not going to try to do 30-minute segments. It just seemed too rushed in past when I've done 30-minute segments with shows. At the end, I might have to. But the critical hours for me are really from about midnight to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is really a difficult time for me to book. That is a 5 to 6 hour period that is really, from my standpoint in Honolulu, and actually a decent time for me from an hour perspective, because that's only 7 a.m. to midnight my time in Honolulu. So by 6 a.m. when I'm able to start getting guests back on through the 11 o'clock hour, they take me through basically my toughest hours. The 6 hours preceding the close of the 24-hour show really isn't that bad for getting guests on, and they can kind of pull me through the dull dungeons of the evening when I'm getting punchy and after having been at the seat for, you know, 18, 19, 20 hours. It is a tough thing to pull out. Each year it becomes tougher. We didn't do one last year, largely because of schedule conflicts and everything that I had going on. So this is the first one I'm doing in 2 years. And I'm used to pulling about 18 and 19 hour days. That's decent for me. I can do that. But that additional 6 hours is going to be tough. And it's always good to have the entertainment value up in the middle of the night and in the morning. So we'll try to have comedians on and some of those type of folks in the doldrums of the evening to help carry me through. And we'll have some folks on from the UK as well. So again, the 24-hour podcast, December 15th, will be starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 6 a.m. Honolulu Standard Time. So I look forward to bringing that in. You know I'm nuts because my mom, she flies in the afternoon of the 16th, so I'm going to get about 3 or 4 hours sleep after the show ends, and I got to go to the airport and pick up my mom, and she's going to be with me through the end of CES. She's actually going to Vegas with us to CES. She's going to be one of our booth personnel, is going to be manning the booth, taking care of a lot of stuff for us. So we look forward to having her with us and probably be seeing her face sometimes during the live show in Vegas. So kind of look forward to that in January. But she's going to be managing the things in the studio, getting guests in and so forth. So look forward to having her with us in Las Vegas. So, of course, those of you that listened to the Sherrycast years ago when her and I were doing that show, I know many of you have called for its return. Well, her and I are going to talk a little bit about some of that when she's out. But anyway, look forward to doing that. So we've got lots of stuff going on here. Fly back to Honolulu on Saturday. So there will be no Saturday morning tech show. Did have a great one this past weekend, and I'm really, Rob is an official co-host now on Saturday Morning Tech. Rob's been arranging the guest, and some of you sent me some emails saying that the show's getting too podcast-centric, and we're going to try to mix that up. We're going to try to have some techies on. We're also going to have some stuff on new media. So I'm contemplating a slight name change to the show. I'd still want to have it to be Saturday Morning Tech. We've covered tech articles, but we also talk about new media, so I got to kind of figure out how to fix that in, and it's just kind of my time to be able to talk about stuff in the space. I know a lot of people have been appreciating watching, and we had a great guest on last weekend. If you missed the show, especially if you like comedy podcasts, you'll definitely want to watch this past Saturday Morning Tech Show. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. He had some surgery on Friday. He's fine. For those of you just want to know, I talked to him on the phone not 15 minutes before it started the show tonight, and he's doing okay. A little sore, a little bit on pain meds, but otherwise on the road to recovery. Something that he knew he was going to get an elective surgery done. The doctor just moved the date up on him a little bit, but all the better because I'm going to need him 100% fit for Vegas here in about a month. Okay, I think that's going to wrap me up for just my jabber here for you. And I definitely want to get into our last sponsor segment, and then we'll get right into the tech content, which I have a stack of stuff for you tonight as well. So let me load up what I need to load up here, and we'll get ready for it. There we go. So, you know, when we meet in person, we always can express with hand gestures, facial expressions, everything comes through in the presentation. When you're trying to make a point, when you're trying to emphasize something, and you know, it all is you know, there's all these things that happen when you're having a meeting in person with someone. You know, these simple gestures help us communicate more effectively and really get things done. But you know, if you're working with a client that's in another state or another country, or even with your own team in a different location, that connection and those points and those gestures can be very complicated, and we just don't come through. And something being said can be interpreted the wrong way. So that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Just as many of you are watching this show tonight, you can see my explanations, my gestures, you can see how I'm reacting. You know, that really adds to the content. For you, those who are listening, we try to do that through the storytelling. But it's still, some of that stuff just doesn't come across the same. But you can meet face-to-face with colleagues and clients anywhere in the world with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You know, GoToMeeting takes a simple online meeting, a big step forward with this high-quality HD video conferencing. It builds trust, allows you to stay focused, it turns your business ideas into actions, and really with one click, you can share your screen to work with others on the same document, presentation, and so forth. And it's easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, your phone, or tablet, and now you can present from your iPad as well. So I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, and this is real easy. Don't wait for this special offer. Really, don't wait, because you're going to be able to get a free trial, and by visiting GoToMeeting.com, all you got to do is click the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Again, remember to use that promo code PODCAST. And if you just, you know, if we take just a second here, and for those of you that are watching the show, you know, it's a piece of cake. All you do is just go over to the website. Again, GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. And that's going to really help us out here. That's going to get us credit for you trying the application and trying the service. It's absolutely fantastic. I know you're going to love it. I do. Again, GoToMeeting by Citrix. Meeting is believing. All right, let's go ahead and get into the full-blown tech show. And hey, Lou, hi, how you doing? Thanks for commenting on the background effect. And okay, my wife just sent me this emergency text message. She says, my iPad needs cellular data login information. Could you send, please? I'm going to send her an email, a text back. We'll call after show. I tell you what, the wife's iPad is not connecting. Something's wrong. I don't know what's going on. The bill's been paid. That's really, really odd. So she's freaking out, obviously, because she can't get access to her bed. What is email is Geek News. What is password? Okay, she's going to have to wait. I don't know why she needs that. Interesting. What's going on there? Okay. It should be paid. She shouldn't need that. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk some tech here. Hey, there's, you know, the holidays are coming up. And, you know, many of us are probably trying to figure out what's that gift. What do we want to buy for that special person? And, you know, it's really a difficult time to, you know, for to shop for a lot of people because we all have our gadgets. And, you know, it's stuff that sometimes Christmas comes early and sometimes we have to negotiate with our significant other ones for, if I get an iPad now, that'll be my Christmas present. Or if I get an iPhone now and so forth. So why not get some of these inexpensive connected devices? So, you know, like the ability to shut off lights in your house. You know, the Belkin Wemo switch, which is $49.99, is a great tool. This is a great way to say, oh, I left the light on in the kitchen or in the living room. Let me shut that off. And you can do that with your iPad. Or, for example, the Fitbit. It's a scale. Or you basically, you can have one as a scale, or you can have one that fits to your, you know, your belt, and it counts how many steps you're doing. You know, Fitbit, this is something that, you know, can measure how active you're actually being. Also during the holidays, and of course what I do is I load up on my sleep before the holidays. I make sure that I'm well rested. It's the only time of the year that I actually sleep extra hours before CES because you can actually bank sleep. You can never make it up to a certain extent. You know, you can't do it too far ahead. But anything to help to build up the immune system and be ready to go for that big show. So one thing that you could think about buying is a Zeal Sleep Manager Pro. And this basically measures how you're sleeping. Many of you that have been listening to the show for years or for a number of years now know that I have sleep apnea. And I have to, every night I wear a sleep apnea mask, and it basically has really changed the way that I sleep. It's made me over as a person. So, you know, I know that I'm sleeping better now because I'm dreaming again. And for several years after my dad's death, I didn't. And we think this is when it really kind of set on heavy. But, you know, if you're thinking you're not sleeping good, you may want to check out one of these Zeal sleep managers. Another thing you may want to think about is if you're cutting the cord, you know, why not pick up an HD Home Run DTV tuner for Wi-Fi networks? It's $129. You know, it's easy to connect. You hook it up to your wireless router. You add a plug-in antenna, and basically you get over-the-air television, and it can pick up, you can use it to two different devices can tune into two different local channels. And there's all kinds of other stuff like the Motorola Moto Active smartwatch. It's an exercise tracker. Nike has some stuff as well. And there's off-the-grid batteries and so forth. And I'm actually testing right now an iBats portable charger that seems to be pretty good. Now, a lot of people have a lot of different wish list items as well. You know, we want our stoves to be connected to the internet. We want, you know, all kinds of different ideas where we can connect. And I found a lot of this gear right in an article that was written at GigaOhm. I was very pleased to see this come out because it gave me some new ideas to look for different types of connected devices over the holidays. So I have this link up in the show notes, but I want to, give credit where credit's due on this and definitely thank the folks over at GigaOhm for really kind of inspiring me here. But link will be up in the show notes for you guys to check a lot of these products out. But if you have something you found that you are really excited about for this holiday period, let me know. Oh, Lou was asking me, but do you sleep better? Oh, absolutely, Lou. I wake up more rested. That's the better thing. When I had sleep apnea, I slept, but I woke up and then, did I really go to bed? But yeah, I do sleep a lot better, and thanks for asking. It made an incredible difference. It really did. And I basically diagnosed with a medium case of sleep apnea, meaning that I was only stopping breathing every 90 seconds. So, you know, so it wasn't too often. Actually, it wasn't really that bad. I think it was every 6 to 7 minutes is what it was. 90 seconds is pretty extreme. I think every 6 to 7 minutes I was going into the and not breathing. So a lot of folks have it a lot worse than me, for sure. But still, it did really change things. All right, let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about some what's going on in Congress besides the fall-off-the-cliff discussion that is basically nonstop on every news channel there is, and that's what we're going to hear through the end of the holidays. And I'm convinced at this point that they're not going to make a deal. Personally, I think they're just going to let us fall off the cliff, and I have no doubt in my mind either side is not willing to budge an inch on any negotiations. You know, one is saying one way, one saying another. It's going to happen. And then there's going to be a lot of finger pointing in the end. And guess who's all going to have to pay? We're going to have to pay. So, but police departments are calling on Congress to require mobile carriers maintain SMS logs for as long as 2 years. So basically, law enforcement have asked that this legislation be put forth. And this is something that is being considered. But, you know, that's pretty amazing. And they want 2 years to keep SMS messages. And, you know, we know that carriers have been carrying them for a while already, but they want the full context and back and forth and interconnections so that if they're investigating someone, they can pull that data. Anyway, and Lou, if you even suspect you have sleep apnea, you need to go see the doc. If you read up on the health concerns about sleep apnea, it should scare the living crap out of you, and you should go see a doctor and have a sleep study done. All right, Samsung Galaxy review. The folks at The Verge did a great review of the Samsung Galaxy camera. I've been dying to get my hands on one of these. I think they're now starting to show up in stores. I definitely want to touch one of these and play with them. The review's kind of mixed from them, and, you know, it's about $300 camera. It's, you know, it's decent, but I was really excited about the, you know, the Android back interface and how that's all going to work, and, you know, the apps are going to be added to this and so forth. But, you know, they gave it a mixed review. They basically says it's really the value of it from a camera standpoint is closer to about $200, and even though it does great pictures, they only scored it a 6.1, and that was a Verge score. What they said that was good is that it instantly backs up your photos to the cloud. It has a beautiful touchscreen, simple to use, and is expandable with apps. And I think that's the thing that excites me the most. The bad stuff is the image quality is no better than a $200 camera, battery life short for a camera, awkward manual shooting, and constant notifications can be irritating. So I've just been looking at this, you know, the middle of the road on image quality. They only scored it a 5, video quality was 7, even though this is a 13-megapixel camera. Now, they did score it real high on features and performance, which is encouraging, but it also makes you think just a little bit, is this thing really going to, you know, live up to all the hype that's been put behind it? I still kind of want one. Don't know if I'm willing to go out and spend $300 for it or not. Maybe I'll hope to get lucky and be offered one at CES. I don't know, but The Verge has definitely reviewed this and come up with you know, it's a semi-so-so review. So I think the ability of the phone to be able to send to the cloud immediately is a big thing. You know, we're going to be live blogging at CES. So I'm really looking at anything that can enhance our ability to live blog. If that means having one of these cameras and be able to click and it goes to the blog, and we don't have to really stress it, we don't have to manipulate and handle it, I think that would be like, whoa, that would be off the chart cool, because, you know, we're going to have the live stream chat room, and right below that's going to be the live blog with text and stuff that we're seeing at the show with the teams that are on the floor. It's really going to be, I think, going to be incredibly motivating for people to stay and watch and listen and watch the content coming in. Now, it's all dependent on my floor teams cooperating and putting stuff up and keep sending. And we may have to dedicate someone in the booth to make sure that that data gets in. But we're definitely going to be sending some cool stuff for you to see throughout the show that will be video clips and everything that's taken straight from the floor. All right, if you're a Mac user and if you're a Dalai Lama supporter, be very careful. There's a new espionage Trojan that's targeting those of you that follow the Dalai Lama, and especially if you're looking for new sites and so forth. So, again, this is a website that's related to the Dalai Lama, and it's hosting attack code that attempts to install an OS X-based spy software. So just be careful. The backdoor Trojan, dubbed the Doxter, by antivirus providers, has the ability to capture the keystrokes of infected machines. So just be aware of that. And if you see something weird going on, keep abreast of it, okay? All right, there's also, if you have a Tumblr account, you may want to go check it. A huge number of Tumblr accounts were hacked. This is a spreading worm on Tumblr, caused media companies like The Verge, Reuters, and a large number of other account holders to publish a post faced with racist comments and very offensive content. And people that visited the page were likely infected as well. The Tumblr has fixed this bug and apparently cleaned it out, but somehow they got this in through a back door. And Gizmodo saying that you can easily remove this. This article is actually over on Ars Technica that I'm reviewing, but this was not a good day for the folks at Tumblr and those of you that have Tumblr-specific accounts. So just be aware that that's out there and that this has happened. It definitely makes your site look bad, but a pretty big hack and a very large number of accounts that were compromised. Hey, I'm pretty excited. There's some new news out from the folks over at NASA. And they're talking about the Voyager 1 spotting a new region at the edge of the solar system. And this is, the Voyager 1 has been, has left the heliosphere, and they thought it was going to be entering interstellar space, but they continued to see some activity that they weren't expecting. So really, what is going on here, and what they suspect is going on, is that Voyager is encountering stuff that they've never expected, and that none of the scientific models projected. Now, the solar winds have reduced to zero. There's no more solar winds, but they're starting to see cosmic radiation, low levels starting to hit the Voyager. But at the same time, there's these magnetic rings from the sun that are kind of working back in on themselves and interconnecting interstellar space that they feel. Now, this is really super scientifically complicated, and you'll definitely want to go read this article. But the scientists are pretty surprised about this solar magnetic field and the flow of charged particles sent out by the sun and how it's interacting with interstellar space, and how they're thinking there's a link there, and how cosmic rays get in, and how some of the sun's photons or whatever they have quantified them as get out. And so they say maybe yet even more, a couple more years before a Voyager 1 really gets completely out into interstellar space. Now, it's 122 AU, astronomical units, from the sun. What 1 AU equals to in distance, I don't know, but it's billions and billions of miles. And so they go into what's the details and some of the charts and stuff that they've seen, but they've definitely have seen some significant changes over the last 6 months. So this is a great article, and I have to agree with the writer of this. This was done by Ars Patorian. He says, this is probably, for me at least, one of the most fascinating things NASA has ever done, to be alive in a time when you're able to reach the edge of our own solar system and beyond and receive data on that event is so awesome. Personally, I never expected the Voyager to make it this far when they first launched. I figured they'd malfunction, get struck by some space debris, etc. But wow, they are nearly beyond our own solar system. Amazing technical feat, NASA. And I have to agree completely with his assessment. But it's just, it's exciting, isn't it? Exciting to see where we're at with this. And this link was over at Ars Technica. I want to thank those folks, but this was all over the news on multiple websites today. So if you haven't read about it already, the link will be up in gncshownotes.com. Definitely check it out. I'd like to hear your guys' comments. What do you guys think about, you know, what has been accomplished with Voyager 1 and how they are, you know, really finding new science even today? I think we got our money's worth and still getting our money's worth out of those two probes. You know, it's nice to see when the taxpayer dollars do their thing and are effective. So, you know, this kind of science excites me. I don't fully understand all the scientific determinations and so forth. But when scientists are excited, it makes me excited irregardless. And time will tell what more we're going to hear from the Voyagers as they continue outbound. And definitely, they've got plenty of fuel on board to go a good many years beyond this. So we'll see. All right, McAfee Security founder says he's now out of Belize. apparently, Vice Magazine posted a picture of him that it had some metadata in it that showed that he was now in Mexico. But basically, McAfee is called back. No, I'm still in Belize. I'm not in Mexico. Ha ha ha! That was a joke. Personally, I'm thinking that maybe McAfee might be in Mexico or Guatemala or someplace like. Oh, it was Guatemala. Excuse me, not Mexico. So he's apparently. According to this, GPS location was fake, and he's not in Guatemala. I just don't know what kind of extradition agreements that these countries have with each other. You know, first of all, you're an American, so I'm sure to extradite to another foreign person in a foreign country, and you're wanted by another country, I'm sure no one's going to give any leeway. This guy will probably be extradited and sent on his way. Of course, it all depends on how much money he brings with him, too. But, you know, this is an interesting circus that's going on. And, you know, I'm sure the Belizean authorities will at some point get their hands on him. And that'll probably be the last we ever hear of McAfee. Only time will tell on this. But, you know, you can do a lot of things in a lot of countries, but to be accused of shooting someone that doesn't generally bode very well, or basically being a person of interest, I should say that, in a murder, is probably not something that endears you to the local population, no matter where you are. So I'm sure this will, ultimately, it's probably going to end badly for him. All right, let's talk about the Mars rover. And last week, I don't know if I got sucked in on some article that was feeding me some information, because I've had two or three articles that talked about stuff that they've been reporting on the rover. But apparently the folks at have reported that the rover has found signs of simple organic compounds in a Martian soil sample. But scientists say the findings won't be conclusive until the test confirms Earth contamination is not present. So they basically found carbon, trace amounts of chlorinated methane. So basically the chlorinated methane contains carbon. And they say that they have to do more tests to make sure the carbon originated with the sample was not brought to Mars aboard Curiosity. And so they have to do that detection. But, you know, they're pretty excited about it. And people got a little out of control in their initial reporting of this. Of course, we talked about on the show recently that they had found plastic. And I'm still trying to go back and figure out where that, because I haven't seen any more articles that were referencing that. So anyway, this was a, they're finding stuff on Mars, as we expected. Why wouldn't they find carbon on Mars? You know, you would expect it's a planet. It's going to have all kinds of minerals you know, maybe they'll find something they don't see anywhere else, but I highly doubt it. What they find on Earth, I'm sure they're going to find on Mars, and it may be in different trace levels, but definitely something that we have to watch for. Hey, you know, the review, there's a great review of the Acer C7 Chromebook at $199, and you know, I've used my Chromebook, but not a lot. I really don't. I'd be honest with you. I've really kind of determined now that after playing with the Android, playing with the Samsung Galaxy, the LG Optimus G, that I will probably at some point go to a little bigger device. The Optimus G's got a great screen. I was using it on the airplane all the way over. Playing with it, different apps, reading stuff. It's perfect for phone, but I need it just a little bit bigger. And I think it will be just as effective as a Chromebook. So, but if you want to get something for the holidays that you don't have and you want to geek out on some geek gadgets, the $199 Acer C7 Chromebook seems to be a decent buy. And my Chromebook stays in my bedroom. Some reason that's where I use it the most. If I don't use my iPad or other device. So it just seems to be the device that I grab. But pretty good review on this. It's, you know, nothing to shout home to mama about from a performance standpoint. But again, you're just running a browser. And this C7 is basically slightly different from other Chromebooks are out there. You know, the caps lock is still a caps lock rather than a search key. The search key is located where the Windows key would be on a standard keyboard. There's also no hardware developer switch to disable the secure boot loader. On the C7, you can access the developer mode by pressing the escape key and the F3 key. So there's, pretty good review. And, it's obviously not going to be the form factor of a real small Ultrabook. It's a little bit thicker, obviously. It's running on an ARM processor, so there should be, you want to play with this, this might be the way to go. It's not running on ARM. It's running on a 1.1 gigahertz dual core Intel Celeron 847. It comes with 2 gigs of RAM at 1333 megahertz bus speed. It's got an Intel HD graphics card in it. It's 11 by 7 by an inch, weighs 3 pounds. Again, a warranty's for a year and $199. And it has a webcam on board as well. And of course, 100 gigs of Google Drive storage for 2 years. So definitely check this out. I have a link up in the show notes on it. And it might be another great product to put under the Christmas tree. As a reminder, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. Leave comments about the show, positive, negative, or in between. For those of you that are on AT&T, and if you travel to Puerto Rico this winter, you're going to be very happy because they've added LTE wireless networking into 6 cities in Puerto Rico, as well as Albuquerque, New Mexico, Reading, Pennsylvania, and Salt Lake City. 3 cities that have been added are San German Cabo, Roja, and Yauco. I'm sure I just destroyed those, and anyone that speaks Spanish to listen to the show just wants to reach out and slap me. So I got a buddy from Puerto Rico. He goes back every year for winter, so I emailed him this article tonight. Said, hey, dude, you're going to have LTE when you go home. And he was like, thanks. You know, just kind of like, okay, quit geeking out, Todd. So AT&T LTE continues to expand. I don't know if I covered this in the last show or not, and maybe I had this to talk about on Saturday Morning Tech and we didn't get to it, but did you know it costs more to send a text message on Earth than from Mars? There's a great example of how much it costs to send a text message, and then basically how much it costs to send from Mars. And basically, by conservative pricing of 5 cents per message, it means that the carriers are charging around $383,000 per gig. And by comparison, the total cost of the Mars Global Surveyor to send a gigabyte back to Earth was only $284,000 based on cost and, you know, support teams and all that. So if I talked about that in a previous show, I apologize. But every time I see that, I just have to chuckle. I do want to share something with you guys. Over the weekend, actually Friday, very late in the evening, my new iPhone 5 showed up, and I want to talk about the process. I'm on Verizon now, and Rob Voice basically pays for my phone through company funds because I use it almost exclusively for company business. But here's what I found going from AT&T to Verizon. And any of you that have not switched from an iPhone to an iPhone, this was an incredible experience. So I got the box. I got the Verizon box. I opened it up. And it had this getting started instructions. And, of course, I read that for about 15 seconds. So I turned the phone on. It had me go through a couple of steps. What country are you in? Blah, blah, blah. And then it asked me for my... iCloud password. And as soon as I said that, and it basically told me when it had backed up from my AT&T phone, and it had been just a few hours before since it had synced with the iCloud. And I said, okay, yeah, sure enough, go ahead and restore or do whatever you're going to do. So it basically did a couple of things, and then the little line that goes across as you're normally updating an iPhone, that showed up. And that line basically said 17 minutes to go. So it was just about dinner time. I was actually cooking something for my wife. And so I went in and finished the cooking and getting ready to eat. And I went back into the office, and it was just about 20 minutes later. And it was basically sitting there waiting for me to swipe the start bar to go in. And I swiped it, boom, boom. And I'm like, is that it? And the Verizon LTE stuff showed up on the top of the corner. And again, this is 20 minutes from the, 20, 25 minutes from the time I turned the thing on. And it's, all my apps are there. My contacts are in. Went in and hit the phone button and called my house phone. And the house phone rang. And I just kind of looked at the phone. I said, it couldn't be that easy. So I grabbed the AT&T phone, looked at it, flipped it over and tried to dial the doo, doo, doo. You cannot make a call. It transitioned from AT&T to Verizon in 25 minutes, completely restored the phone back to my original case. Now, what it did do was it didn't download all my pictures at the time. It basically started pulling them in. It brought in everything that was critical, and then it started basically loading the apps. The apps were all on the screen. They just weren't loaded yet. So it just normally, as it normally does, it started installing the apps. And within about 2 hours, all my pictures, all of my, and I had actually, by mistake, connected it to my lower speed Wi-Fi. So it probably would have been a down a lot faster. But my phone was just completely usable in 25 minutes. I found it to be incredible that it could be that easy to transition from AT&T to Verizon. The rest of the team got phones as well, and we all were like, you gotta be kidding, it was that easy? And some of the guys didn't have, some of the guys had iPhone 3s, a couple of the guys had iPhone 4s, so no one had an issue making the jump. And I was worried, I was getting on an airplane the following day, no biggie. It was all done. So I just wanted to share that with you. If you're thinking about making that change from AT&T to Verizon, we got an incredible deal on 6 phones. And we have all on a shared data plan. We measured it all out. It's going to work good for us. And we're saving half the money. Our bill went down 50% as compared to AT&T by having 6 phones on the plan. Okay, enough on the phone. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit here about, Lou, if you're still watching the stream, how is the stream quality tonight? I have it down to 512 kilobits. Is it decent? Is it grainy? How's the stream look tonight? All right, 4 LinkedIn tips to help you get hired this month. If you're still looking for a job, this is the season to look for a job. Reconnect with former colleagues and friends. This is the perfect time. The holidays is a great time to reach out and get in back touch with people. Basically, send a little note. And you can mention, hey, I'm looking for, a job in this specific field. Ask if you can take a person out to coffee or so forth. Network at holiday events. This is really important to be able to do. When you go to a party, go around and glad hand and, flesh to flesh, hey, how you doing? Make sure you get all those contacts, You know, build those contacts during the holidays. And then, you know, follow up. You know, you got to follow up here. You know, if you're seeking a job, you better basically be following up with people on a regular basis. And don't be a pest, but also make sure that you get out there. And especially if it's a recruiter, follow up with them, let them know. And spruce up your LinkedIn profile. I went in the other day, and I'm not looking for a job, but I went in and spruced up my LinkedIn profile. There's a couple things that were missing. Some awards I got back in 2005 that I never put in the LinkedIn profile. I added those, made some updates. So, you know, make sure that, you know, this makes you set up for a good job opportunity. So these are great suggestions. I found this over at CIO.com. Again, 4 LinkedIn tips to help you get hired. Everyone that we've hired in recent years at Raw Voice, we have found the people through LinkedIn job postings. We posted the job on LinkedIn, and that's where we got our employees. We didn't find them at any of the other, you know, the major big job sites. We found them on LinkedIn. So this is a great place to go look for quality jobs. It cost us like $400 to put a listing up, but we got great people every time we put up a listing on LinkedIn. So, you know, don't forget about that as a resource for a job. For those of you that are Catholic or want to follow what the Pontiff has to say, the Pope is going to be using a Twitter account. Starting on 12 December, he is going to be posting in multiple languages on his Twitter account. He already has, I think, 250,000 or something like that followers on the English version of Twitter. So his Twitter name is at P-O-N-T-I-F-E-X. P-O-N-T-I-F-E-X for the Catholics out there, anyone that wants to follow the Pope and his messages through the holidays. Okay, what else have I got in the stack here? All right, how many of you have Instagram? Instagram vulnerability is available, or has basically been determined on the iPhone. So I'll have this link up on the show notes. It doesn't look like it's a big deal, but this was discovered on November 11th, and as of today, it has not been fixed yet. If you have a version newer than 3.1.2, this is the one that has the security issue. So be aware of that if you use the Instagram app on the iPhone. Also, and I don't know if this is kind of surprising, some new iMacs are being marked as assembled in the United States. This is new. Folks have been getting machines that say assembled in the USA, and these are usually reserved for made-to-order machines. In other words, you go in and you pick the stuff that you want. So this doesn't mean that Apple's transferring its entire assembly operations from China, but it does indicate that at least a few of the new iMacs were assembled domestically. So that's pretty good. It's on the new 21.5-inch iMacs, and I'd like to know where these are being built. It's kind of an interesting move here. It's no word on where the factory is and so forth, but there is some assembled in the United States criteria. A product that includes foreign components may be called assembled in the USA without qualification when its principal assembly takes place in the U.S. and the assembly is substantial. For the assembly claim to be valid, a product's last substantial transformation also should occur in the U.S. That's what a screwdriver assembly in the U.S. of foreign components into it. Basically, you're putting it together, all right? Example, a lawnmower composed of all domestic parts except for the cable sheathing, flywheels, rims, and air filters is assembled in the U.S. as an assembled in the USA product. So that's pretty cool. You know, you think about what's being made foreign on all computers, like almost every part is, but at least a substantial of the assembly is happening within the United States. So I congratulate Apple for doing this, and I hope we see more of this as we go on in the future. Again, comments to the show can be sent to geeknews@gmail.com. All right, let me go ahead and we're already going long. I've talked almost close to an hour already. The UN head of communications, the head of the UN telecommunication body, Hamadan Touré, told an audience at the World Conference on International Telecommunications, the ITU, in Dubai on Monday that the internet freedom will not be curbed or controlled. He, quote unquote, he says, nothing can stop the freedom of expression in the world today, and nothing in this conference will be about it. He said such claims are completely unfounded. The Secretary General of the International Telecommunication Union told the AFP, we must continue to work together and find a consensus on how most effectively keep cyberspace open, accessible, and affordable and secure. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said Google had been vocal in warning of serious repercussions, saying that some proposals could permit governments to censor legitimate speech. We'll, you know, talk is cheap. We'll see what the ITU does or doesn't do at this conference. Close, closed conference, you don't know what's being discussed. We will see. Of course, Syria, when they shut off the internet last week, a lot of people are asking, can that happen in my country? And as you would expect, many countries have the ability to do this. And you'd be surprised by how many have the ability. Severe risk include some countries in Africa, some in Europe, some in Central America, some in South America. And then they show those that are the most not, you know, most unlikely to be shut down. The United States and Canada was on that list. The Russia was, Australia, Japan, Brazil, a variety of Rio de Janeiro. It's not a country. So a variety of different countries were basically low risk, and then everyone else in higher succession. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out on that. All right, you know, there's a there's an ongoing litigation in the Aero lawsuit, and you know, we've always seen a lot of good rulings be overturned at higher courts. So at the appeal on the Aero ruling in the district court, they were asked some pretty tough question. The judge questioned on why Aero needed to have all of the antennas. Now, of course, Aero uses an array with multiple antennas, and each person that subscribes to the service basically rents a specific antenna in that array. And he basically said, hey, the we had to do it for legal purposes. We could have done it another way, but to stay legal, this is the way we had to do it. Going on to, you know, even some more points is the plaintiff in the case, Cablevision, and the other folks that are on this as well, basically think that it's bad to follow the law. And they said that Aero did not have to design their system this way. Well, they did it because they knew that they would be facing legal challenges. So we'll see where this goes. But this is a pretty good write-up on what exactly has happened in this appeal process, and we'll see where this goes. And you know, based on these power of these lobbies, you know, I think Aero's days are likely numbered. I'm just hoping that the court does have some semblance of common sense and come back and allow them to continue to do business. I have to share with you, though, a case that was dismissed, a copyright troll case, but I'm only going to read you a paragraph out of the judgment. I'm going to star this article in the show notes tonight. You have got to read this. This is entertaining. This article is over on Tech Dirt. So here's what the judge said, and this is after he's dismissing the case. The case is dismissed for failure to appear at this hearing for failure to present a lawful agent for attempted fraud on the court by offering up a person who has no authority to act on the behalf of the corporation as its corporate representative, and the court will hear by motion a motion for sanctions and fees against this Sunless entity and everyone affiliated with it, including a motion against Mr. Wessinger for his purposeful failure to appear at this hearing. Now, this guy by the name of Wessinger has been filing these troll cases all over the country. And what is really incredible is the transcript between the court, the judge, and the supposed attorney representing this company. And when you read this, you're going to find out how incredibly the abuse of our legal system is taking place. I almost want to go through this, but it's going to take too long. You have to read this article. You really do. It's incredible. The back and forth. I'm surprised the judge didn't throw the quote-unquote counsel representing this quote-unquote company in jail for you're going to go through this and say, how does this happen in the American justice system? Once you read it, you're just going to shake your head. Also, if you lose your laptop online or lose your laptop out in town, don't promise $1 million reward for your laptop via YouTube or Twitter if you're not prepared to pay. Hip-hop R&B artist Ryan Leslie lost his laptop in Germany. He went on to say, I'll give a $20,000 reward for its return in my intellectual property. Then later upped it to $1 million. Well, lo and behold, someone found it and returned it to him. And he said, I'm not going to pay. The hard drive was broke. I couldn't get access to my intellectual property. Well, this case has been handed to the... And they sued the guy that found it, sued him for a breach of contract and basically said, I'll pay $1 million, and he didn't. And the verdict came about 45 minutes after jurors sent a note saying they were divided because we feel $1 million is too high and asking if they could compromise on a lower amount. Leslie's lawyers then sought some time to strike a settlement, but the Gustin, the guy that basically, the fellow that found this, said that the ship had sailed and insisted the jury be told to continue deliberating toward an all-or-nothing decision. So this guy may end up having to pay $1 million to this guy for finding his laptop after he blew his big mouth online saying, I'll give you $1 million to find my laptop. Tell you what, $1 million is a big motivating factor for folks. All right, iRobot founder now building tiny hovering drone spies. And you may not think this is a big deal, but what I found to be really cool about this is that the way they have designed this flying robot, which is pretty small, to go through windows, it's fly-by-wire. Now, they can fly it remotely, but it's powered and can continuously fly nonstop, and it can fly over 1,000 feet while be powered by a microfilament line. This is pretty doggone smart by these folks. So basically, as this thing flies out, it runs out the microfilament line. It keeps it powered, under control. Basically, don't need to continue to refuel this thing. And it says that the device can basically do a persistent stare for up to 12 hours at a time and on one battery, because it's not all powered by the wire. And so very, very cool. It has thermal night vision. It flies itself. This could be a big, big deal. Very, very quiet. Just sit there. And if you're hovering and looking at a compound or you've got this thing in between an area where it can just sit there and spin, this is pretty big deal. So no word on how much they cost or if the general public can buy this or not, but a very cool article over on Wired. Hey, the Messenger probe is confirming the presence of water and ice on Mercury. So basically, data from several instances on NASA spacecraft allowed science to confirm the presence of water, ice, and craters near the poles of Mercury. That's pretty big news. Also in the news today, News Corp has killed The Daily, its iPad newspaper. So Rupert Murdoch, that's one strike for him for online ventures. I think he's got a couple other strikes in the online space as well. They don't do it well. And also, we talked about drilling in ice and them finding microbes a couple of weeks ago. Well, researchers had bored through 3 kilometers of Antarctic ice, and basically they are, within days, they're going to penetrate on the 12th of December, and they basically are looking for organisms that have been isolated for 100,000 years. And unlike this other location, which we talked about last week, this is a big deal. They're pretty excited about it. But anyway, they've been drilling and expect to punch through on the 12th. So I'm sure we'll have more news on that. Hey, also, how many of you are watching the calendar? You know, the Mayan calendar is about to end, and we may end up in a situation here where there will be no shows after the 21st of December. Who knows? Only time will tell. How many of you went and seen the movie Cloud Atlas? I'm hearing some reports. Those of you that like The Matrix will like Cloud Atlas. I haven't went and seen it. I'm going to put it on my list now to go see it. Apparently, it follows some of the same themes and takes over where The Matrix kind of left off. I'm really excited to see this. This is going to be very, very cool. I'd love to hear from any of you that went to see it. Please don't send any spoilers in. But if you've seen it and you loved it, definitely email me. If you haven't went to see it, I'm tipping you off. This may be a movie to go see. Hey, Lifehacker is reporting those of you on Android will be able to get pinch to zoom, swipe to delete, and more with your Gmail application if you go and update it now. That's available, so very, very cool. There is some news out of New Zealand. Another file-sharing case brought before the New Zealand Copyright Tribunal for the major record label has been withdrawn at the 11th hour after it was discovered that none of the three strikes had been properly delivered to the account holder. As yet again, rights holders and ISPs delay the implementation of a scheme here in the United States as well. So this is going to be 100% failure so far of the cases that have been announced down in New Zealand. Asus and Netgear are set to jump on the Google TV bandwagon, so this is really cool. Looking forward to seeing that. Hopefully we'll see these devices at CES. We'll keep you advised on that. Hacker Community takes out over as Boxy phases out Box support. So those apps that are on the Boxy box are basically going to be the last apps that are going to be on the Boxy box. You need to talk to you, Sam, about the Boxy box. We may have to substitute to a different box. But this doesn't mean that they're going to be completely locked out. But the Hacker Community is going to have to take over here on their open access platform. But there's also some folks that are talking about launching what's called Boxy Plus to add missing features to the Boxy box. So keep you advised on the original version of that and what they're going to be doing with the Walmart version. Hey, Verizon Mobile TV goes dark as it pulls a plug on VCast Video. Of course, Verizon VCast was innovative when it launched in 2005, but obviously the web has changed things. So as effective December 15th, that will be going adios. And the last article tonight, if you've been a TopStyle user, TopStyle 5 is out. According to Nick Bradbury, it's fantastic. So definitely check out TopStyle 5. I used to have a license to TopStyle 5. I have to see if it's worth upgrading to. All right, let me go ahead and look here and see if I've got anything in the email. I don't think I had preloaded this. I guess we're still doing okay on time. Excuse me. I think I know what's going on with my... I've been fine all day, no runny nose. I'm thinking what's going on is every time I drink a Red Bull, I get sinus activity. So I wonder if I'm having a reaction to it. Maybe time to kill the drinking of the Red Bull. All right, let me go load the comments here and see what came in since the last show. We did the last show on the 29th. Yeah, a couple of email spots. Got an email here from Andrew. He said, Todd, I was listening to the podcast saying you so blew it with a GoDaddy spot. I was laughing so hard I nearly crashed my car. Don't crash your car, Andrew. No. That's not the thing to do. Yes, I didn't have it loaded. I didn't have Danica ready to go. And I apologize. Yes, just call me an idiot. It was so cool to play. I got so many emails, though, on that. Basically, people saying, how'd you get GoDaddy? GoDaddy was the first, I was the first show that GoDaddy sponsored. And of course GoDaddy's going to take care of me and get me a Danica promo. All I had to do was ask. Got an email from John. He says, whose VPN did you try out? I was looking at trying Avast out, but haven't made the jump yet. Was also thinking of setting up VM with Avast VPN and proxy my network through it, but I don't really have a need. Just thought it would be cool to try out. I tried out Anonymizer. That's who I tried, and so far it's been working pretty good. It's a little quirky at times in the way it... you know, if you're jumping around on Wi-Fi networks, it can get confused. So disconnect before you change a Wi-Fi network. Other than that, that's it. All right, folks, we're going to wrap the show up right now. And thanks for being here. Looks like everything is, cross my fingers, everything looks like it recorded good tonight. Looks like we may have got a good video encode. So maybe finally we're at the point where the video portion of this thing has kind of gotten figured out by me. It's still hard to switch amongst multiple switches. But again, I want to thank our good friends over at Citrix GoToMeeting. Thanks for being a sponsor here. Again, go over to Citrix GoToMeeting. Do that free 30-day trial. Try the HD Faces portion out. And use the promo code podcast when you do. Don't forget to use my GoDaddy codes as well. You can get to 20% off by using Go20Off2 or the $2.95.coms by using the promo code Geek295. All my codes are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. One more show here in Texas. If you're watching the show and you've got an idea for a cool background, drop that over to me and we'll put it up in the show. I want to thank Sam for the last two backgrounds that he's provided. Great idea. I think this one's really good. I like the current one a lot better than even the one I used being in the space shuttle. But I'd be honest with you, these little lights that I have worked out fantastic. They fit my pack-up bag, and they allow me to have enough light here in a hotel room to key the green screen, and the key on this green screen is fantastic tonight. So I think we hit a home run with that. All right, that's all we're going to have for tonight's show. I want to thank you all for being here. I am going to be able to do a replay. Tonight's show was pushed via Clearwire. I've got my Clearwire modem with me, and so we pushed with that. It'll be a few minutes before I'm ready to do a rerun of the show. But for everyone that's been here, thanks for coming. We'll see you next time. Take care, and aloha.